yeah, so Meg was definitely a big part of finishing it. Chris played drums on almost all the songs, and I've been doing music with him for a long time, and I really respect his opinion. So that, like, Chris recorded the drums on four of the tracks, and also this guitar part on the, like, counting sections of Seven Score. Like, there's two guitar parts, there's just, like, chords, and then there's this, like, sort of spidery, higher sort of part, and he came up with that, which was really, really good for the song. But for the most part, everything else instrumental was me. And Zach and Nick have been involved in the, like, the live setup, but also both of them, I respect their taste a lot, and useful to have their feedback and everything. And they're going to be, I'm definitely going to have them a bit more involved in terms of, like, recording some of their stuff for the next project, because, I mean, it's been helpful now, like, writing new songs and bringing it to the band, and sometimes playing it live even before recording, because then they can sort of give their spin on things. Sometimes I write stuff and I'm like, okay, like, this is what I want. Sometimes I write something and I really want it to be played exactly like that. Sometimes I write something and I'm like, you know, you can change it up a little bit. And sometimes I don't write a part and I'm like, okay, but you can try to figure it out. So I'm very grateful to everyone who's collaborated on the project. And then there's also my friend Jacob Sexsmith, who played drums on Seven Score, the first song of the EP, and he's also a great drummer, and I'm going to be working with him as well going forward. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, people are like, oh, like, is it, like, your project, or is it, like, a solo project, or... Like, it's definitely, like, my project, but it's also certainly a collaborative project, and I couldn't have done it without collaborating. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think with these sorts of things, it really matters to have, like, critical voices to help refine things as they go along. And I think it's a pattern that I've seen with various bands. Like, they start out as, like, a single person making music, and then it's... Even if it is still, like, their project in a way, like, and I used air quotes here for everyone who can't actually see me doing that. Like, it's like this slow inclusion of people into, like, the process of making. It's interesting to see how people's music changes in light of that. And I think, I mean, obviously, you talked about the reception of the EP. It was very good. And I think that's something that was almost surprising to me, because I've seen bands that kind of, when they first show up on my radar, it is as, like, a new band in a way. And you can see sometimes, especially in a live performance, like the rough edges of something transitioning from one person making music and then getting other people to play it. And yeah, you guys felt very refined when I saw you play. And also, like, the dynamics between, like, you and Meg's vocals, like, they're really, really restrained. And they come out really, really well. Like, they had a lot of dynamism to music.
I think, like, she has an incredible voice for the music, and especially, and, like, I remember showing, like, a friend of mine some of these songs, like, 3-4 years ago, and he was like, oh, they're really good, but, like, they're just, like, missing something. And I also felt like they were missing something, so I guess I was kind of, like, sitting on some of them, just, like, because I didn't feel like they were complete. And then I feel like Meg's vocals really did add, like, a really, I think also just, like, having that sort of, like, kind of somewhat raw sounding but, like, intimate female vocal part can really add a huge dimension to, and sort of life, like, lived in and human dimension to something that is sometimes kind of more abstract sounding. So that juxtaposition is pretty good. Yeah, we're definitely, I was just writing a new song yesterday and coming up with the vocal part with Meg and sounding good.
Nice. And do you think the process now is more straightforward? Because you talked about more or less this 5-year span of like things that you just said, like they were good but weren't complete. And it seems now that you have maybe a better idea of like when something is finalized or at least like the framework for that. Do you think it's more straightforward going?
Yeah, for sure. Which I think is a good and a bad thing. Mostly good. Like I think I've definitely honed my craft and everyone else is also honing their craft. And I mean, like you said, in terms of the band, like everyone who plays in the band are very tuned in. Like they understand like what we're going for and I guess like have a keen appreciation of beauty. So
okay.
that really helps. But anyway, so just to get back to your question, yeah, I mean, it is more straightforward for sure, because like with experience writing more and more songs, you get like, I kind of have a bit more of a defined process a little bit, but then you also run into the trap of, oh, am I like writing too many songs that sound a bit too similar or yeah. something like.
If it's formulaic.
Yeah, you're trying to navigate using formulas, but then also breaking the formulas, and so it's a bit interesting like that. Like I had my guitar tuned to this really nice tuning that Pavement used on Zurich Is Stained, as well as In the Mouth of the Desert, where you tune the bottom string down 2 tones to C, and then the second bottom string down 1 tone, and then the top 4 strings are standard. And I was writing, I probably wrote like 15 or 20 like songs or beginnings of songs in that tuning, and I was like okay, some of these are just a bit too, I mean certain tunings make you guide you to certain chords a lot more, and I was like okay, like some of these I can keep and some of these are I have to discard because like they're just a little bit too similar in some ways. But yeah, it's been a challenge for sure. I guess like the first EP was over the course of 5 years of songwriting, much less intense in various points. Like there were like 6-month periods where I probably didn't even touch a guitar at certain points. But now it's like, I want to keep putting out the same level of quality, but I have like way less like time. Like I'm not putting up the next project in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because everyone will have forgotten about us in 5 years if we don't put out anything. So, I mean, I'm trying to finish something by, like we're mixing in September, so have everything recorded by then. And it is a bit of like pressure to try to get a nice crop of songs that, like I hold the work to a really high standard, I think, so. And there is something like, I don't know, it's definitely going to be different, and there's something maybe special that won't be replicated exactly on the second thing that was on the first thing, especially maybe because of how the first thing came about, like in this sort of very drawn out and strange context. And yeah, I'm just trying to write a lot of songs to try to make sure that I can like cull from that and
yeah.
get the best ones, put those out.
Cool. I guess the last thing I'll ask is more on, more or less just bands that you'd like to mention in terms of bands that were influential. You also mentioned like looking for local bands that would kind of suit like the sound that you're going for. And you've got a list, it seems.
Well, I'll just attend to my phone because it'll be easier to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But off the cuff, like, I mean, my favorite local band is one that we've played with a couple of times called Twine.
Okay, yeah.
They're really awesome, like, great songwriting. They're more like screamo, emo-ish, but
yeah.
also have a sort of, like, they have, like, really heavy, but then like somewhat like more like beautiful sections. They're really good, and very raw, really awesome. In terms of stuff that was, yeah, I mean, Slint and Duster were pretty big. Helvetia was also really influential, which is like one of the members of Duster's side project. Yeah, I mean, Elliot Smith, Sonic Youth, going through here, Sprain.
Okay, yeah.
I actually kind of like revisited
their
2018 album recently, and I was like, actually the album art's kind of like oddly similar, which I didn't clock. We didn't do that consciously at all. But yeah, that 2018 thing is really awesome. Alex G, huge influence. I mean, I really think he's like the most gifted and like I think he's kind of like the most exciting and biggest thing in like guitar music over the past 10 years or so, at least. Like, he just has such a prolific output, and the quality is so high in terms of the songwriting, and it's so varied. Like, DSU by Alex G, that album is like incredibly influential on me. And all of these influences, like, I mean, I think it's best when I try to combine them and start something new. Whenever I mean, it happens quite often that I write something and it's like, oh, like, this sounds, you know, too much like Alex G or Sonic Youth or something, like something specific. I never want it to sound too much like one thing. So some other bands, Unwound, this sort of singer-songwriter, Lisa Germano.
Okay, yeah.
Really awesome. The Breeders, in a weird way, I guess. Let's see here. Yeah, if I had to do it off the top of my head, I definitely couldn't do it, but having any Spotify likes is helpful. And I'm definitely forgetting a lot of things. Oh yeah, the AF1 album.
Okay.
It's like, I'm not sure if you... This one?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's another...
I heard like, AF1.
It's like EIAFUAWN.
Everything is all f***ed up and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah, really, really amazing album.
Yeah.
The Microphones, let's see here. I mean, that's a pretty nice little group of bands that influenced us, I guess. As I mean, everything else as well.
There's always gonna be more, right?
Yes. I mean, it's also been really interesting now after putting out the project and hearing, like, you know, there's been a little bit of like blog coverage and whatever, and people are like, oh, this sounds like this and this and this, and a lot of the time it's bands I've never heard of, but often it's bands that I've like gotten into and I like. So it's cool to sort of reverse engineer it like that. And then also, weirdly enough, like the Spotify, like, people also like sort of thing, like you go to the bottom of an artist page and you like see like the other recommended.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple of bands I've found through that I've gotten into. Like, there's this band called The Furniture Group from New York that are pretty cool. What else? Sta Dormida is a really cool band. I put one of their songs in the NTS mix that I did, but they're very elusive. Like, they have no social media.
Okay.
It's like STA space Dormida. They're like on Bandcamp and I think on Spotify and stuff, but really into them.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we'll cap it there.
Cool.
Thanks.
handshake.
Yeah, cool. All right. This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, this show is Past Tense, and the last song that played was Zurich is Stained from the band Pavement off of their album Slanted and Enchanted. And then before that was the end of the interview that I did with Marcus Stahl of the band Golden Star. And if you happen to miss me mentioning the name of the song that played before that, that was Crumbs Like Saucers by Helvetia off of their album Dramamania. Mentioning Zurich is Stained, I think in the interview Marcus mentioned something about the tuning that was used in that song. It was also a song that Golden Star played in the first time I ever saw them play live, which was probably a couple of months ago now. That was at Petit Ours, a very tiny venue here in Montreal, and that was a really cool experience. Not only was the band highly constrained on the stage by the lack of space, but you've got this room that's packed full of people that are really captivated by the music that's playing, and especially when it's something that's really kind of intense and sparse and brooding, like Golden Star's music is at times. Yeah, it's a cool experience. It was honestly the highlight of that show for me. I would have gone even if it was just Golden Star playing, so that was pretty sick. And I know they've got another show coming up. They played a few weeks ago, but now they've got one coming up with a couple American bands. Can't remember exactly the venue, but it's at one of the Casa sites, probably SOT. That is going to be on July 15th, so that's another one to look out for. Golden Star playing in a slightly larger venue, and I know that they did their EP release there, or their EP release show there. Anyway, going back to the interview, if you want to hear the full thing, you can check it out on the CJLO website. It should either be up there the time that this plays or sometime hopefully very soon this week. And if you need to find a link for it and you can't see it on the main page, check out the page for my show, which is cjlo.com/shows/past-tense. Anyway, gonna close out the hour with two songs. Next one is gonna be Asleep by Golden Star, and then after that, I'm Losing, I'm Winning by Sta Dormida.
I feel like we are doing this cool thing where we accidentally and